Hi, this is Randy, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions, for Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. Welcome to the show, Graham, everyone. I'm Randy Schuler, and I'm here with my co-host, Perry Romanowski. Hey, Perry.
Hey, Randy. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, let me ask you, do you mind if I chew gum during this podcast?
More than you can imagine.
Yeah, I was just blowing bubbles and stuff. Actually, one of my superpowers is an ability to blow gigantic bubbles, but I guess it's not appropriate for a podcast.
If it was really a superpower, you wouldn't need to use gum.
I'll have to ponder that. Hey, you know what? I just got back from skiing the other day, and I was happy that I didn't break anything. But you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to wear sunscreen.
Oh, and that's not good.
And so I guess I didn't really forget. I just, you know, didn't have any, so I didn't put any on. And, you know, now I really regret it. And you know why I regret it most?
Because you're sunburned?
Well, I did get a little sunburned, but even worse, I got this terrible breakout of cold sores.
You know? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a trigger for that virus, yeah.
Yeah, really, I hate cold sores. And I know you swear by that Abreva stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it never seems to work for me. I mean, yeah. if I use Abreva, my cold sore probably lasts about 7 days. And if I don't, it lasts usually about a week. So
let me just mention this podcast brought to you by Abreva.
Well, maybe they'll send me some free stuff. I mean, that little tube is kind of expensive.
It is expensive, yeah.
Anyway, this whole cold sore debacle inspired me to do a little reading up on it, and I stumbled on this post about cold sore myths.
Oh.
So I thought we'd play a short game of fact or fiction, the cold sore edition.
Oh, I love having fun with diseases. Let's go.
All right. So I'll just read five statements, and you say whether it's fact or fiction.
All right.
About cold sores.
Got it.
Number one. Cold sores are only contagious when you see a blister.
Oh, that's false.
You are correct. They are contagious from the moment you get that little tingle until the blister is gone.
Yep.
There you go. Okay, number two. Over 90% of adults have the cold sore virus.
I would believe that. Yeah, I'll say that's true.
In fact, that is true. But only 20 to 40% of people actually experience breakouts. Hmm. And I say to them, lucky bastards.
Please, no swearing on the show.
Sorry, we'll get that explicit tag. All right, number three. There is no way to shorten the healing time of a cold sore.
Ooh, well, Abreva is FDA approved and they make claims about shortening. I'm going to say that that's false. I think there is a way.
You're correct, fiction. Abreva is clinically proven to reduce the healing time of a cold sore. You know, maybe for most people, but I don't think it works for me.
Well, it reduces it by 30 minutes.
Right. incidentally, this whole section was featuring Abreva, brought to you by Abreva, right? All right, we got two more. Number four, taking a supplement of L-lysine can prevent cold sores.
Oh, that I've never heard of. I'll say that's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a fiction. It's a commonly, it's a myth that a lot of people do believe, but there's no evidence that taking any supplement will help prevent your cold sore.
I should have known. Damn those supplements.
And finally, the last one, sunscreen can prevent you from getting a cold sore.
You know, you might tell your story after the quiz so you don't give away the answers. So I'll say that it can prevent it. Yes, that's true.
Indeed, that is true. For many people, sun causes cold sore. Now, this isn't just my anecdotal research. Actually, in The Lancet in 1991, they published research that demonstrated a sunscreen can prevent a cold sore. And this is the way they did it. They took like 70 people who got cold sores because of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
They wore sunscreen. They exposed them to UV exposure. Nobody got cold sores.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gave them a fake sunscreen, and 71% of people got cold sores.
Oh, wow.
You imagine being in that research where they're going to make you get a cold sore.
I'm sure that they were appropriately compensated.
Indeed. All right, well, that's my Factor Fiction cold sore edition.
Excellent. I enjoy that. We have to do more with viruses in future shows.
Well, speaking of viruses, what else have we got on the show today?
Yeah, I hope this episode goes viral. We're going to do another one of our claims discussions, and then we're going to talk about some recent beauty science news headlines. How does that sound?
Ah, I like that. Sounds good.
All right.
So let's begin with the claim to fame. This time, can body wash fragrance be touch activated? You know, just to remind everyone, this is the segment where we review popular beauty product claims and tell you what the claims really mean, how the company might support them, and if the claim is compelling enough for you to buy the product. So today, we're going to take a look at the Caress Fine Fragrance Body Wash.
Yeah, so as usual, we'll start by looking at their claims, and there's a couple that they feature on the package. So they talk about the product having a 12-hour fragrance release. They say that this is the world's first body wash with fragrance release pearls, and fragrance release pearls is trademarked, so we'll get to that in a minute. But and then they say it's a touch-activated technology that releases a burst of perfume every time you touch your skin all day long. Wow. So that's on the package. Now, there's some additional claims in their promotional materials that I'll mention quickly. They say that the fragrance was composed by the world's best perfume experts. They say, why shouldn't your body wash have the same touch activation as your mobile device? Now it does.
Wow.
And then my personal favorite, it took 25 scientists across four continents to perfect the design of this collection.
Wow, that's impressive.
So yeah, so there's a great story here, and I actually think they did a great job of making this product sound breakthrough. So, you know, kudos to them for that. But if you really, you know, distill this down to the hardcore technical claims, there are really two things to focus on. And first, this idea of the fragrance release lasting 12 hours. And the idea of the fragrance release being touch activated. And those are both pretty impressive claims. So let's take a look at how they might be delivered.
Yeah, let's do that. The simplest approach would be to use some sort of consumer panel, right? Mm-hmm. You could have panelists wash one arm with the special body wash and then the other arm with, say, a regular body wash, or ideally some placebo version where it's the body wash without any special fragrance technology. Mm-hmm. Then you have other panelists smell the person's arm without knowing which one was treated with which, so make it a blinded study. Ideally, you wouldn't know who the person is either. Totally blinded.
Not smelling friends or acquaintances. Okay, got it.
And then you do this at some set point interview, the interval, say every hour, and then ask them to rate the fragrance intensity. Mm-hmm. And if panelists can still smell the fragrance after 12 hours, you pretty much supported the long-lasting part of the claim, right?
Yeah.
But what about this idea of touch-activated? You know, they need to build some sort of activation step into the test, so where the skin is either touched or rubbed, or maybe you've just put it on your iPhone or something. And then it's sniffed again to see if the fragrance intensity changes at all. It's also conceivable that instead of, or in addition to, just having people smell the skin, they'll use some laboratory equipment like a gas chromatograph to actually detect and quantify the fragrance components that are remaining.
Yeah, that would have been a nice bonus to do. I'm not sure it's necessary to support the claim, but certainly would be supplemental evidence.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were lucky enough to get a set of free products in the mail from Caress. So I got a chance to actually try these out.
And when you say we, you mean you. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I bathe way more frequently than you do anyway, so that's fine. So I actually did a kind of a mini version of that sniff test you just described. And I got to tell you, I was surprised by the results. So I washed one arm with the love version. So the product comes in two scents, love and adore.
Wow, so very clever.
So I washed one arm with the love fragrance, and then the other arm I washed with my regular body wash, which happens to be Axe, which is very highly scented, you know.
It is. And it attracts women, apparently, according to their commercials.
Yeah, we'll talk about that claim later. You know, the Axe product is so highly scented, you know, I expected both of these to be able to, you know, be retained on my arm for hours, you know, because they both have such a strong fragrance in use. So I did the washing, and then I had people smell my arms, which is kind of a hobby of mine.
Now let me see. So you just go to the local park and like, hey, could you smell my arm?
Well, I didn't really want to go to the parks because it was outside, so I had people come to my house.
Gotcha. So you just have the chair, and you're sitting in the chair, yeah, and they approach the chair.
Yeah, with the shades drawn.
Right. Wow. This all sounds very scientific and controlled.
So, you know, to my surprise, not only did the Axe fragrance completely fade after the first couple of hours, but the Caress fragrance really did remain throughout that whole 12-hour period and beyond.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Now, here's the really amazing part. I did the activation step, too. So I would rub, you know, the part of my arm, lower part of my arm on the Caress-treated arm, and then had panelists smell the difference, sure, between my lower arm and upper arm. And it was really easy to notice that the fragrance intensity where the skin was rubbed had an increase. So there was like a burst of fragrance released. Now, the fragrance character was a little different.
Wow.
Yeah, it actually picked up sort of almost a green note. So the fragrance changed a little bit. But there was really no question that rubbing did release additional fragrance. Now, you know, obviously this is not a rigorous scientific test, but it was eye-opening to see the magnitude of the difference. So there really is something here. So now, given that, you know, mini evaluation, why don't we talk for a minute about, you know, what this technology might possibly be that they're using to deliver this long-lasting fragrance?
Well, my guess of how this would work would be that they use some sort of encapsulation technology, with the capsules designed to be substantive to the skin even after it's rinsed off. Now, this is consistent with their claim that describes the technology as fragrance release pearls.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember this technology we were working on back in the old days. Remember those pearly fragrance beads that would, like,
the one that would
automatically form
and, yeah,
at the bottom of that? Yeah.
That was very cool.
That was very cool. This kind of reminds me of that. But in principle, this is similar to that scratch and sniff capsules, you know, those little stickers where you scratch them and they smell like that. But this is similar technology. And they use those kinds in fragrance advertisement in beauty magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is trickier because they need to be dispersed in a surfactant system that will not dissolve the capsules, and the capsules need to stick to the skin even after you rinse it off. And that's a big challenge, and I'm actually surprised they were able to overcome that. I think that's probably why they needed those 25 scientists over the four continents to figure it out, right? Anyway, we get a hint of what it might be from looking at the ingredient statement. The only thing that I see is likely to be some sort of encapsulating agent is the polyurethane derivative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, polyurethane dispersions contain both hydrophobic and hydrophilic segments, and they could be used to sustain, you know, for making sustained release capsules.
Yeah.
We'll put the ingredient list in the show notes so you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to tell if this is some sort of stock technology from the fragrance house or something that was custom developed just for Unilever, who owns this brand. But either way, we'll probably see this technology turn up in other Unilever brands like Axe or Dove, right?
It would be
Regardless, it's a pretty interesting tech. Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty interesting technology, I have to say.
Yeah, and that's, you know, normally when we get to this part where we say, you know, does the claim, you know, should it persuade you to buy the product? I don't think we've had a case yet where we would, you know, say, yeah, this really makes a difference. You know, I would argue this is a differentiating technology. I haven't seen any other product, you know, be able to do this. So, you know, if that's important to you, I mean, not everyone wants the scent of their body wash to last all day because it may conflict with your perfume or your cologne. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but if you are looking for kind of a cool gimmick in your body wash and you know, have that fragrance last when you at least rub your skin. I wouldn't say it was released every time you touch your skin. You actually had to kind of agitate it a little bit, you know, like you were doing a scratch and sniff card. But if you do that, the stuff will last all day. So, you know, if that's your bag, I would recommend buying this product.
Wow. Well, there you go. Our first recommendation based on their claim. I say you just buy it because of the 25 scientists across the four continents.
I'd like to see that claim support, too. It's like, okay, every continent, you know, email me a list of how many scientists worked on this, you know, because I got to document this stupid claim.
I got to figure, what, it's North America, Europe,
yeah.
maybe South America and
Antarctica.
Asia, maybe?
I think it was Antarctica.
Oh, it was. There you go.
They're up there researching all those silicones that you talked about last week. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah, the silicones in our beauty science news segment, which we have another one of those coming up, huh?
Yeah, we do. But, you know, I want to take a little break and talk about iTunes reviews. Because this is so important, not only to my self-esteem, but for getting new listeners to find the show and for getting sponsors like that we're so desperately trying to attract to come on board for us. So please, you know, if you enjoy the show, take a couple of seconds, go to iTunes and just write a short review for us. We'll put a link in the show notes for you. And if you do that, we'll give you a little shout out on the show. So we've got a couple new reviews this week that I'll read. The first one comes to us from Challen Girl in Canada. And she said, "The hosts make the science interesting and relevant to the consumer. I definitely recommend the podcast." Then we have 212BDD who says, "Thanks to the Beauty Brains, I feel much more savvy when I shop for beauty products. There's so much hype out there, it's great to have unbiased scientists explain what to look for and what's fluff." And then finally, Lillian C. says, "The endearing duo dispense trustworthy insights. This has been my best source for reliable information. I trust them more than I trust my dermatologist."
Wow.
I know. That's great. Thank you, Lillian. That's very flattering. That means a lot to us. So thank you, guys. And thanks to everybody who takes time to go write a little review for us.
It also demonstrates why we could never launch our own beauty brand.
Because people trust us?
Exactly. Once you start selling the products you're reviewing, right, that's the big problem.
All right. Well, now let's get to some beauty science news.
All right. All right, I'll get started today with a story that I saw about aging. Mm. Now, according to this story, scientists at the Scripps Research Institute have discovered a new class of drugs called senolytics. Now, these are compounds that target old cells and kill them off. They find that by killing off the older, non-dividing cells, they can keep mice looking younger and feeling younger. Mm. I wonder how they assessed whether the mouse felt younger. Put him on the couch. So how do you feel today? So it turns out in our bodies, we have these stem cells, which are highly resistant to dying off, right? Which is good because these are the cells that continually make new layers of skin, for example.
Right.
Well, most of these cells adhere to the Hayflick limit, which is about 30 generations. I think we talked about the Hayflick limit in an earlier show.
We talked about the myth that exfoliating your skin makes your skin cells reach the Hayflick limit and stop reproducing,
right,
which is not true.
Exactly. Anyway, the Hayflick limit means that cells can divide about 30 to 50 times before they stop and that generation dies off. Now, most of these cells will die off, but many of them kind of stick around and they can start causing diseases associated with age. Anyway, this new class of drugs finds those old cells and then it kills them off, right? Hmm. And so then you're just left with your younger cells to take place. And theoretically, that's going to extend life. Now, they found that in mice treated with these drugs, the animals had improved cardiovascular function, better exercise endurance, and an extended health plan. And they say that they just found that in just one treatment.
Did you say the mice had an extended health plan, or they're like on Obamacare? Well, I don't understand that.
I think I said health span. Oh. If you go back and check the notes.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, that's all right. But yeah, the fact that they were staying older longer meant that they did need a longer health plan too. Anyway, I could imagine this same thing going on for skin cells. So one of the reasons people get wrinkles, right, is that their cells stop producing collagen and elastin. So maybe a drug like this could help to replenish younger cells, and then aging skin might not be as problematic.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I bet this is kind of a long way off. The researchers, of course, want to do more testing in mice before they do any human trials.
Good thing.
That's probably a good idea. You mentioned the first person to try that out, and it goes horribly wrong. You know, but who knows? Who knows what effect this could have? I mean, it could be in the future that beauty products, you don't have to lather them on. You just take a pill, and you're anti-aging pill is actually functional.
Well, I wonder if it works for cold sores.
We'll have to ask the good folks at Abreva.
Let me read you this headline and see if you think this would be interesting to you. I saw this not too long ago. It says, does water cause acne?
Whoa.
Yeah, it was kind of my impression. So, you know, you're a savvy internet marketer, so you know the power of a good headline.
Sure. It sounds like clickbait to me.
Exactly. But you have to be careful because the headline doesn't always tell the story accurately. So here's an example of a story from the website The Gloss with the headline, does your water cause acne? So reading the article, I found that The Gloss was just quoting a study from another website called The Bustle, which had the headline, is water making you break out? So then I read the original Bustle article and found out that that was in turn just quoting something that had appeared on Livestrong. And that article was titled, is acne caused by water softeners? Which is not really the same thing as water. So,
right.
So the Livestrong article said that theoretically, the ions in hard water can react with soaps to form insoluble salts that can plug your pores, which would cause acne.
Right.
But even the author of that study acknowledged there's no scientific study that establishes this. So this person is just speculating. Because it is true that if you're using true soap, it will form an insoluble salt with hard water. I mean, that much is true. But this person apparently just made the jump and just made up this piece about acne. So, you know, so first of all, I mean, look at how misleading this is. It's really not the water itself causing acne. Right. Secondly, it's really only an issue, or potentially only an issue, if you have hard water, and if you use a true soap bar as opposed to synthetic soap bars or even liquid soaps. And thirdly, there's no proof that even if you do have that combination, that it will make you break out, because acne isn't caused by a chemical plugging your pores. You know, acne is caused by when chemicals do get into the follicle and have this hyperkeratotic effect where it increases, you know, your skin cells sloughing off and they plug the pore. So, you know, it's not just that the chemical gets in and blocks it. That's another myth. But anyway, you know, so I got sucked in by this headline. I had to read three articles to get to the bottom of what this really meant. You know, and it's no wonder there's so much misinformation out there. Who has the time to read all these references you need to get through to sift through to what is really the truth?
Yeah, especially really peer-reviewed articles like the ones you were referencing. that is what the power of, like, I love Google Scholar because that's where you can go directly to get things. But, you know, the problem with the internet is that the people who are really good at creating headlines and getting you to click on it are not people who do the scientific research, right?
Yes.
So much information gets filtered through people who really don't know what they're talking about.
Yes. Well, fortunately, you have us to help you sort through it.
Exactly. Hey, Randy, you know, while water may not be the cause of acne, we know it is the cause of some hair damage.
Oh?
But you know what else might be the cause of hair damage?
What's that?
The Wen hair care products.
You mean conditioning, what do they call them?
The conditioning cleansers.
Conditioning cleansers, there you go.
Yeah. The co-washers or
that's
no poo rub.
Yes.
Well, at least that's what the people who filed this lawsuit against them are saying. According to this lawsuit, multiple women have been injured by Wen hair care products. they say that the products have caused severe and possibly permanent damage to hair, including hair loss, to the point of bald spots and severe breakage.
Yeah.
According to the attorneys, many of the women called the company and were just told their complaints were atypical. And then instead of doing anything about it, the company just increased their marketing activities. Actually, if you watch any TV there, it seems like those Wen infomercials are on all the time, right? This is probably what caused the consumers to go through and do this lawsuit, right? Because I looked at the Wen products that were listed in the lawsuit, and I'm hard pressed to figure out how these Wen products would be any more damaging for hair than any other conditioners. I mean, the products aren't any different than any products.
They're very basic conditioning formulas.
I don't. They have. Look at the ingredient list. They have glycerin, cetyl alcohol, behene trimonium methyl sulfate, amodimethicone. I mean, I just don't see what products could possibly be causing baldness or things. So, mostly, I bet the people were just kind of put off by the way they were treated. And you know, I'd be really surprised if they are successful in this kind of lawsuit.
Well, you know, but you can see how these things get started. And we, you know, I was privileged enough to receive consumer complaint letters when we worked at Alberto Culver.
And too bad we don't have any of those. We could do that as a segment on the show.
Let me consult with the lawyers if I can read some of those on the air, because they're pretty damn good. But, you know, you can see maybe, you know, just make up one example. Maybe a woman relaxed her hair, which can be very damaging to your hair, and then used the Wen conditioner afterwards, and then blamed the hair loss on the Wen product instead of the relaxer. I mean, you know, you can see how these things could sort of take on a life of their own, because we used to get complaints about hair loss on products that we knew there was no basis for it. But, you know, a couple complaints here and there, you know, maybe word leaks out about that. Some enterprising attorney decides to make a class action suit out of it. I mean, these things can snowball pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, when may just pay these people off to get them to go away. But I'd be surprised if this thing went to court that they would lose, right?
Yeah, no, it's hard to imagine. And if you'd like to learn more about Wen products, maybe they could sponsor the show.
Wait, this is the Abreva show. This isn't
Sorry. Save it for next week.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, what color are your eyes?
My eyes are greenish, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got brown eyes or brownish eyes.
You and most of the country, right?
Well, yeah, there's a good slug of us. And, you know, I found out this week that there is no such thing as blue eyes.
Really?
Well, yeah, let me rephrase that. There's no such thing as a pigment that makes your eyes blue. So instead, the blue color in your eyes is sort of an illusion that's caused by the scattering of light as it passes through the iris of the eye. And that's really Raleigh scattering, which is the same principle that makes the sky blue.
Right.
You know, there's no blue dye in the sky, right?
In your eye.
It's the poetry section of the program.
That's right.
So why are, you know, my eyes brown? Well, there is a thin layer of brown pigment that tints the iris, and it sort of, you know, covers up that blue light or prevents it from scattering. But here's the really interesting part. Scientists at Stroma Medical Center have developed a laser that can burn off that thin layer of brown pigment so they can actually make brown eyes blue.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is not as disturbing as that study we discussed about eyeball tattoos.
I have to say, you're like the king of finding the eyeball. Do you have like a Google alert for freaky eyeball stories?
I don't know how I get these things, but I mean, this is still somewhat controversial. I mean, the researchers say it's safe, and that the procedure has been successfully completed on 17 patients in Mexico and 20 in Costa Rica. So I'm in.
It sounds safe to me.
Seriously? 37 people in two South American countries, and they're, you know, well, I guess Mexico's not South America. But anyway, you get my point.
It is south of America.
Yeah. So, you know, critics, like some ophthalmologists, are saying that, you know, this procedure can lead to fragments, you know, from this lasered pigment, and that could clog up the eye and lead to glaucoma. You know, so maybe I'm not in.
Maybe oops.
Not want to mess with this. But I mean, either way, it's just fascinating to me that people would go to such lengths to change their natural appearance.
Now, I am curious, though. Is this a one and done? Once you kill off that, does your body not remake that pigment?
My understanding is it's permanent.
Oh, well, there you go. I would think using contacts would be a better solution than this. Wow.
Way to go. All right, I'll tell you what. I think we got time for one more story if you want to take it.
Sure. Here's a surprising trend in hair color. Did you get see this one? More and more celebrities are making gray their hair color of choice. And it used to be that people would cover their gray hair as fast as they got it, but now apparently we have a number of celebrities who just are embracing the gray, and they're being featured in magazines and ads. Now, older stars like Joni Mitchell is for Saint Laurent. Joan Didion she's featured in the French brand Celine, and even Dolce & Gabbana are featuring gray-haired models. But none of those gray-haired models have any in vitro produced children, apparently.
Oh, a little topical news joke there.
Hoo-ah! But it's, you know, it's not just these older actresses and models being featured. There are these younger celebrities like Lady Gaga and Kelly Osbourne and, of course, Nicole Richie. They have all tried to put a little gray hair in their style. And remember that, who was that, that X-Men who had that gray hair thing?
Rogue.
Rogue, right.
Sure.
Exactly, yeah. So it looks like, and so this has caused a variety of these, market research companies have are predicting that gray hair will be the big trend of 2015.
Yeah, along with men's products.
You know, I kind of agree with that. I mean, they say, oh, this is great news for women who have been constantly told that gray hair is a disadvantage when competing for jobs. And, you know, this could mean that, okay, maybe women don't have to go gray. And there has always been like this double standard, right? Men going gray is sort of more sophisticated and women are not. But, you know, color me skeptical on this gray hair trend.
My favorite quote out of that article was the woman who said something like, going into a job interview with gray hair is like going into an interview wearing a medallion around your neck that says, I'm 57.
That is a good point. Thank God for cosmetic chemists who have figured out how to make hair color that works, right?
Oh, yes. Thank God for us. That's what I say.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm getting a couple of gray hairs, and quite frankly, I don't like it one bit.
Well, you're just a young guy. You don't have to worry about that too much, I don't think.
That's right. Of course, the fact that I don't like it is not going to inspire me to color my hair. I'm just going to live bitterly.
There you go. All right, well, I'll tell you what, we got to go now, but can we take a quick minute? We've already asked people to give us an iTunes review, but maybe you could just mention where they can get in touch with us if they have questions or comments.
Yeah, we haven't done a question in a couple episodes, but we're still taking beauty questions. So if you record yourself on your smartphone and then email us your question at thebeautybrains@gmail.com, we will put you on the show and answer the question.
And you can also reach us through Facebook, or you could tweet us at thebeautybrains. Yeah.
Right. Or you could check out what else we have to say in our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know, but it's not about dyeing your hair gray.
I tell you what, I can't wait to hear what song you're going to be playing at the end of the show. You mean I have my prediction.
The little Easter egg? Okay, we'll come back next week and see if you're right.
All right, well, good show today.
All right, and speaking of next week, until then, remember, we're the Beauty Brains. More trustworthy than your dermatologist. Thanks, everybody. Say goodbye. I didn't mean to treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had. But honey, now I
facing the world with a cold sore can be very embarrassing. So from the first tingle, I use Camphophonique Cold Sore Gel. It goes to work instantly on my cold sore. Camphophonique Cold Sore Gel helps me face the world.